I'm joining the podcast legendary artist Steve Rowe from the band Mortification. Steve, thank you so much for joining me. Seems like this is a deja vu.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, and you know, this is our take two. I posted it on the Facebook group page, but I wasn't sure when we would get to talk again, so I'm very blessed to get to do this again. Unfortunately, I had technology issues, but it's been a while since people have heard from you. And if you were going to kind of catch people up on what's been going on with you the past several years, people may not know, you know, the health stuff you've dealt with. What's been going on lately with you and in your life?
7 years ago, I had a stroke, and I had to stop playing music at that point. I've been playing for 30 years. Did 30 of but yeah, I started in about 1986 and finished in about 2016. So that's just the way it goes. I'm reasonably healthy, and it's winter over here in Melbourne, in Australia.
Right, that's crazy.
And it's summer over in America.
Yeah, I'm sweating.
We live in the southern hemisphere. So, anyway, it's good to talk to you today.
Yeah, and I appreciate you doing the skin. I did post because something you did mention yesterday, because I was curious and where people can purchase any kind of Mortification merchandise that might be out there, is a website called soundmass.com. And I did put that link on the Imaginary Music Facebook page for anybody to check out. Yeah. So if anybody wants to look into that.
Soundmass.com in the UK will be releasing my new book. I haven't got a title for it yet, but it should be out in the next 6 months. It'll be a while, but So I've been writing a book for the last year and a half. About my grandson. I'm a granddad now.
Yeah,
I'm 58.
Is it? Is there any music? Is it similar to the first book at all, or is it more just about your take on being a grandfather?
It's similar. So it's kind of mentions Mortification and mentions my journey and mentions I had a stroke and stuff like that. Catch people up on what's going on, but. I'm now a granddad. My son's wife had a baby boy. So that book will be coming out at SoundMass and soundmass.com in the UK. And he releases all my stuff on vinyl and CD and stuff. So we record a lot of albums. So it's not like we didn't record anything. We record a lot of stuff. And so you can check it all out on Spotify, you know.
Yeah.
And soundmass.com is really good for purchasing all the vinyl and CDs, and this is on Spotify as well.
And I was going to ask you a question. Most of these I've asked you yesterday, but for the listener, they haven't heard this, but you know, I asked you about your son and you mentioned, you know, I wanted to know, did he go into music? But I'll let you say that story again. What is your son doing currently?
No, he's become a pastor. He's becoming a pastor. He's going to study in the Presbyterian Church next year for 4 years. He's 28 at the end of the year. His wife's a little bit older. She's 33. So yeah, that's why they had kids straight away. He got married a little over a year ago. And he's doing really well. He's been a great son. He's really full on for God. And the Presbyterian Church is just a straightforward Christian church. I know a lot of people go to different styles of churches, but ours is pretty straightforward, and that's what he's been involved in. He's now old pastor, went and started a church over the side of Melbourne, so he's gone and done his apprenticeship there, and he's doing well. He's really good, because he did AFL umpiring, which is umpiring Australian rules football, which if you have to see what AFL is, you have to look on YouTube. But he umpired right up to the top of that Okay, but so then he messed his foot up. And that was when he became a Christian and decided to go into preaching. He seemed really well, and he really learned how to talk when he was umpiring. So he talks really well.
Does he ever ask you for advice? Because he never really. You would think, hey, you got some interesting stories, and you've, in a way, in your own way, have been a preacher, a minister, whatever you want to call it. And maybe one day he'll come to you and say, "Hey, I got a dilemma here. What do you think I should do, or how would you handle it?" Maybe not.
He's really great.
Yeah.
I was born in 1965, which is a long time ago, nearly 60 years ago. Well, I'm 58 now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I've got a grandson. So.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're very excited about that too. It's a true blessing for you.
Oh yeah, it's really helped me to focus on what I've got, and the fact that I was given 5 or 10 years back in 97.
Mm-hmm.
5 maximum 10 years, I'll give 27 is really good.
Yeah, and what I want to mention to people that have never read the book Metal Missionary, the Steve Rose story, to definitely check that out, because if you ever had any kind of questions that or wanted answered, I think they would be answered in that book.
Yeah, that book was massively written by Vic Campbell, who used to be our manager, and we did it together. And it covers everything from my whole life. That's about looking at Soundmass, and Soundmass will show you where to purchase it from. And
I know it's also available on Amazon and Kindle, if you have a Kindle like me. And,
yeah.
I read it that way. And it's a really good book. I read it extremely quickly.
That's good.
A question I wanted to bring up to you again, just something I thought was funny, because I even texted my friend after I told him I talked to him yesterday. And the first thing he said when I said I talked to you, he said, "The big button on the top." So, of course, it was just funny that in that Heaven's Metal video magazine that Doug Van Pelt put out, first one where you guys are on there with Stryper, that your whole first segment is just doing segments and bits from the Stryper in the Beginning video. And you told me yesterday you guys were just kind of goofing and having a good time. And how many times do you think you watched that documentary to remember all those lines?
When we did the video, we called it Grind Blunts, because we're not rock stars, because we were dealing with a massive backlash in the church, more than even the world, for playing death metal, and it was just a form of music that I liked, because I listened to Vulture on Napalm Death in England, and I thought, if we tune down and some Christian lyrics, it could be successful, and it was. We got signed to an Intense, and then we got signed to Nuclear Blast, and then we got signed in Brazil, and we got signed in South Africa, and we toured the world in 2001. So it was really successful. But when I had the stroke, it just ended there. That was just it. So it was just something I accepted.
Yeah.
But I've still been able to write, and the new book hasn't really got a name yet, but we'll have one, and CMS will be releasing that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So CMS.com, yeah. That mentions mortification, but it's a little bit different. I've covered it in that Metal Missionaries book. Read everything about mortification from start to finish and go away. Everything's done from when I was a teenager right through,
Back in
that was from
before
I had the stroke.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Before you had the stroke, you also were pretty active on YouTube, or at least there's YouTube stuff out there where you're answering people's questions. Is that something that you've thought about ever bringing back if you were able to?
I struggle a little bit with life at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I have had a stroke. I'm doing quite well. But, you know, as long as people can, you know, keep in contact with all of our music and my books through soundmass.com, I don't feel like, you know, the internet is the best place for me to be. A lot of people hate me, you know. A lot of
why is that?
Famous non-Christian.
Just because of the message you brought in the music?
Yeah. We Satanists and Christians both hate me a lot.
That's amazing.
I'm just standing for Jesus, and I'm still alive 27 years later, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. And I know I brought this up yesterday, and I wanted to bring it up again, but in the past you'd mentioned playing shows like that in some cities that were very known for Satanists and those folks coming against you, and you know, I don't know if you mind kind of going over that again, you know, any kind of crazy stories of having to deal with crowds or maybe scary situations.
We were playing in America in the winter, not sure where it was, but the Church of Satan had set up nearby. And people turned up with all sorts of weapons, and got all sorts of threats, and we got all sorts of threats, and it's pretty crazy. But it was just that one thing you went through in America. So the threat is very real against Christians, and even Christians against Christians. I've been against me. I just kept going as long as I could, and I had the stroke. I had to give up. That's just it.
Yeah.
And I've kept on writing, and my son's had a child now, which is great. And I thought I'm going to write a book about that.
What does your son think about your music? Is that something he was into, or is he totally into something else musically?
No, he's not really into it. He's a preacher, so
yeah. Well, he still listens to music.
Yeah, he kind of likes the newer metal stuff, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's young. He's only 27, 28. So,
well, in going... Is it true that Rez Band was a big factor in getting you back into Christianity?
Well, no, I was never away from Christianity. I got my heart to the Lord when I was 8.
Yeah.
And all through my teens and my 20s, I went to the Lord. And I started Life Force in 1996. And in 1997, we did the Battlezone album. Which is available for sale for a while.
You said with Life Force?
And then, just in 1999, we did Mystical Seas. And then in 1999, I did Break the Curse, the first Mortification album. So, yeah. And we just toured all the time, constantly. I had my own label, Road Productions, which I released a lot of Christian bands in the 90s.
And any bands that stand out that you were proud of, that not to show favoritism, but that you were proud of to put out there that were on your label that stand out to you?
Yeah. Manowar were a really good death metal band.
Manowar?
And Metanoia.
Oh, Metanoia. I was going to say Metawar. That's not... Okay, Metanoia. Okay.
I released a Norwegian compilation, which really went well. I was in contact with bands in Norway. And, yeah, we released a band from Brazil called Anti-Demon. And it was a good time just releasing CDs of things, and yeah, it was an interesting time too, because when we toured America, we made enough money to tour. It cost a fortune to tour,
right?
Especially when we did the world tour. By the time we got to Florida, we'd broken even, but by the time we got to Brazil, we'd gone under. So
was that pretty stressful for you?
Yeah, it was. That was kind of what started my stress, you know.
Yeah.
So Twitter, after I'd had the bone marrow transplant, was pretty wrecked. I was walking out of cane, so.
You know, I was blessed. I got to see Mortification live in concert. You guys came to, it was near Atlanta, Georgia, but it's technically Marietta, Georgia, and you played like a little club called the Pterodactyl. And
yep.
I don't know if you'd even remember that with all your shows, but it was a little club there, and me and my buddy got to come see you. I don't remember the lineup. I remember not trying to be mean, but I think your drummer, he was kind of a heavy set fella. And
it was
Keith around,
and Link
Evans. Yeah.
95?
Yeah, it had to be right around there. But you know, I'm really happy looking back at it now, especially knowing that unfortunately you guys, you're never gonna be able to play live again, that I at least got to see a Mortification show. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way too.
Yeah, it's good. The shows were different sizes. We had small gigs, and I'm not sure how big that gig was here, right? And big gigs like the one Live Planetarium was done at a big gig, and we did in sit outside of Sydney in a big tent, and we had about 1,000 people like that. That was good, and that was filmed really professionally in 1993. So that was when I was sort of putting clean vocals in with the death metal vocals. Which some people liked, some people didn't.
Was there a band or anything that influenced you to do that little bit of a change, or was that just something you wanted to do on your own?
No, something I wanted to do on my own. Scrub of the Penitentiary, which is available on SoundMass, has got my high vocals. And I practiced them a bit. But yeah, I did the death metal vocals as well. So it was a bit of an experiment, you know. But I think we did well. And when Adam joined the band, Adam Savoy's, he brought some great drumming into the band, and Relentless was a great album.
I've actually been in touch with him, and I'm hoping to have him on the show sometime soon too.
Who's that?
Adam. He was pretty young when he was in the band, right?
Yeah, he's 15.
Was it awkward at any times? Because here you are at the state, and this is this young kid who, I mean, I don't know, he might have been a real mature 15-year-old, but, you know, he's still 15. Was it odd at all? I mean, he's an incredible drummer, even at 15.
His dad, Jono, was a drummer from Rosanna's Raiders.
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
Yes.
But Adam, the thing with Adam was, he wasn't really a Christian, so we had to keep a tail end saying he's a great drummer, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And, I struggled to find Christians, but I made sure everyone who came through knew what I was standing for. And, I haven't spoken to him for a while, but kind of lost contact with the people over the last 7 years. But it's great to talk to everyone about SoundMass and stuff now on your show. So,
I was going to ask you, I had a buddy, he just unfortunately just passed away recently. He was probably about your age or younger, actually, but his name was Billy Sellers, and he was a promoter. And he had you guys play in Georgia at a show. And he said he had a really good conversation with you, and you were very open and honest. And one of the questions that he asked you, because I went back, I was looking at text that we were talking about you. And he said he would always ask the artist that came in, are you seeing fruit? Do you see any fruit from what you're doing? And I don't know what.
We've seen a massive amount of fruit from what we did with Mortification. Yeah. A lot of people coming to the Lord, because a lot of people were just on the side of the church or not really in the church and listening to bands like Bolt Thrown, Napalm Death, and then they got into Mortification, and that was how they became Christians. So it was was really good, the fruit that we saw.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really good.
Well, I wanted to update that question on his behalf since he's passed away. And, you know, I was looking back at that conversation I was having with him. And
how many people were at the show that you saw?
You know, it's been so long ago. My memory could be fuzzy. It could be at about 100 or so, would be my guess.
Which is normally we had an 80 or 100 people at shows.
Yeah.
Normal shows in America and in Australia and stuff. And but we did some bigger shows, of course. And some of the shows we did in Norway are massive. Huh?
And is there a show that stands out as a favorite show for you?
Probably that one we did, Drawing Planetarium on. The Grind Plants video, that was good. That was up in Sydney in Australia, and a massive crowd there, and it was good. It was filmed well. It was recorded well. It was just, I don't know. It was just one of those freaky things that happened. people watch Live Planetarium on
is that on YouTube?
Yep, Live Planetarium.
Yeah. Okay. I was actually amazed at how much material you guys put out back in the day, and that you can now watch on YouTube, how like live concerts or just the videos of just the touring. I mean, you guys got a lot of content, more than I think people realize if they want to check it out on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, I never worried about was how big the crowds were. We just went and played and turned up at different shows around the world. And we tried to play every night, because what you do is you'd make dinner, and right, you'd be able to make, you have breakfast the next morning, you'd be able to make lunch on the way to the next gig. So there was ways of saving money. Because when we first went to America, and Tim said there's no way you can afford to come here. Just when their band said they toured from Los Angeles and lost money. They said, oh, if you got the truck and you've got all the crew and... I said, no, I'm not going to tour like that. We're just going to tour the van with the gear and have each gig set up sound. And we'll bring a sound guy with us, which we did. The guitarist from Ranch with our sound. And so that way we're able to sort of make money. We're just touring in a van with a trailer or a truck. Because so many bands went under. No, American.
Right.
We made a little bit of money on it. On a few tours, we were from Australia, so I learned how to do it. And there was no internet back then, so I had to go and work all day. And when I was out working, I'd have to. I was selling books to schools. I was able to stop at a public phone, call in America, and organise all the gigs. And there was one gig I didn't organise in Australia, and it never happened. Go and figure.
Really.
I had no one in New Zealand as well, which didn't happen because I didn't organise it. So I had to be on the button of organising everything and making sure everything was happening.
You pretty much were managing your band, correct?
Yeah, I had to, and no one else to.
Yeah.
And it was the interesting thing about when we were in New Zealand, in the South Island, someone had organised a gig in a club. And then the next night, we were supposed to do an all-ages gig. And the guy said, I had an all-ages. I said, what? He said, put us in a park. We were outside a church. And we were able to play between the bell of the church for an hour. The bell would go off, and then they plugged us in, and we played for an hour. And it was really good, because there's a lot of people preaching in the South Island of New Zealand. There's a lot of people preaching, and they had no audience at all. We had a big audience. So.
Well, I was just going to ask, were there any bands that stood out that you did tour with that you really enjoyed the chemistry or the music of what they brought to the tour?
Yeah, Biogenesis were a good band to tour with. And trying to think, the Slam Cat. A few bands we toured with back in the day.
Yeah,
None of them are really good. None of them are. And Rich.
Okay.
Oh, good. Oh, good guys. Yeah.
And did you enjoy having your own production label while you were doing that, or was that kind of more stressful at times too?
No, it was good. As long as I signed the right bands, because people knew the death metal bands that I was signing were the ones that did well in the Norwegian compilation and compilations and stuff. So I knew that I had to get in the right of signing death metal bands, because that's what people wanted to hear. The people that knew me anyway. We'd sell about 1,000 CDs, so it wasn't a lot. But it was enough to press them and get it all going, you know? And I had a studio about 10 minutes away from here up in the hills. And I had to sell that 15 years ago.
Yeah.
When I had the strength.
Is that the studio you were talking about in the book that you built?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't exist anymore. But I tried...
And I have to ask this question again. I already know the answer, because I know people listening don't know the answer and would like to know. But is there going to be ever any new music coming from Steve Rowe in any capacity?
No.
All right.
Well, I know that sounds complicated.
I mean,
I haven't played for 7 years, because I go to a stroke group once a month, and... And my right arm, most people hang one side. My right arm is just not strong enough to play anymore. So you said maybe just two vocals, but
yeah,
it was too hard. I had to find people who are Christian, and I couldn't find Christians all the time. So I just took it on myself to witness to people and show them the way. And we had a couple of people in the band who were sort of Christians, but not really. They come from Christian homes. Anyway, I don't know whether that was good or bad, just the way I did it.
What if you had collaborators that, because we did talk about yesterday, we did mention how studios and recordings are done now. They can do, I could be sitting here doing a recording and talking to you, and you do it where you're at. And, you know, if you had the correct collaborators that were Christian, were on the same page, and could work with you and work with you doing the vocals, and you could say, hey, maybe go here on the bass or the guitar, let's do this, try that, would that ever be a possibility of happening?
No, because I think I've done 30 albums. There's plenty of people to listen to.
So
you're good stuff.
You're pretty much retired from music then.
Music, yeah.
Okay.
But it's all live. I'm still going to church. I'm still a Christian. And, I'm still the same person as I always was. So, I won't be playing anymore.
Is there anything that you ever wish you could go back and change that might have led Mortification to a different course? Or are you happy the way everything worked out musically?
Yeah, I'm happy with the way everything worked out. We always record very professionally. It always costs us $10,000 or $15,000 to record, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It always costs a lot of money to get on America and from Germany. And when we toured the world, costs were massive. The hands free in this touring, still the costs were massive. When you go to South America, when you stop at LAX, you have to get on an airplane to go to Mexico. It was really difficult. Really difficult to make the next plane in time. But we did it. We did everything. And the thing is, when we were touring in America, of course, there was the years when we got paid cash.
Yeah.
And I used to carry around $10,000 of cash in my pocket from a bunch of gigs. Mm. And people would get killed in America for $20. You know?
Oh, I know. Yeah, that could have been really dangerous, but thankfully it wasn't. But
yeah, so I had to find someone to send the money home to my account. And of course, I had to go through their account. Mm-hmm. So most people couldn't do it without dealing with a business. So strange. But anyway, we lived and we survived.
And something I wanted to ask you about again was some of your favorite albums and your producers. Like I said, you know, working with George Ochoa is one of the, you know, the album he produced is one of my favorites. I just really enjoy it. Yeah. I think he played quite a bit on it too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he played with it.
What stands out to you?
Yeah, probably Big Machine, Scrolls of Meatloaf, Relentless, Scroll of the Pentateuch. We did so many albums.
Right. How many live albums did you guys do?
A couple of live EPs. We did two or three live albums. Live Planetarium, Live Humanitarian. And that Black Stump one in 1999, we did the Black Stump Festival in Australia. I forget. It's just all coming back to me now. So
yeah, well, I mean, but, like you said, you got 30 projects basically out there, and
that's
a lot of material to remember. But another thing I wanted to ask you that I mentioned yesterday was just about your current musical taste. I know there's not a lot of great stuff out there. Do you go back and listen to?
Well, there's not a lot of Christian music, but I do listen to a lot of Jerusalem and Resurrection Band, and I've listened to new Metallica.
You like the new album that just came out?
Metallica's all right.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I listen to stuff when I can.
And I know I asked you about Striper, because you said you saw them recently. Did you get to talk to them, or do they know who you are, or did you?
They don't. I got to see them.
Yeah.
They played the club beer to it. A nice another thing. Thousand pill money. And I remember we played with Strubber in 1989. I played the big festival hall. Took about 1,500 people, maybe.
Was that in Australia?
Yeah, about 3,000 people, maybe.
Were you guys, was that with Light Force?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the last Light Force gigs, yeah.
Oh, really?
Soon after I started my application, because the band Light Force basically split up. And talking about becoming Christians, I mean, the guys in Light Force, I'm not really sure where they're at now.
Yeah.
I lost contact with them. So.
And you said.
I still see Lincoln Bar.
You said that they're not really living the Christian lifestyle anymore. Is that what you said yesterday?
Yeah, but Lincoln Bowen is. He's a good guy. He's a great guy. He was only really young, when he was only 18 when he joined the band. So he's way younger than I am.
Yeah.
He was 89, about 32, I think. He was in the band when Adam was in the band, and was 15.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So I've always been old. Yeah.
Do you still, because I was asking kind of about what you kind of currently listen to. Do you enjoy the new Striper stuff that has been coming out, or do you prefer the old classic
stuff?
Good.
I've got it all on CD. But one on my twin vinyl when I can get hold of it. But I tend to buy things I like. The rest of it I listen to on Spotify.
Right.
Spotify's good. You don't really get the sound you're after on Spotify.
Well,
you listen to something on vinyl and you put it through a stereo, it sounds amazing.
Yeah. Vinyls really came back. A lot of people are watching it now and redoing a lot of old material. How many projects do you guys have that's come out on vinyl, or do you know?
Pretty much all of them.
Oh, really? Okay, so they've all basically been re-released on vinyl?
Yeah, you've got to get sammas.com.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that was on there. Okay.
But if he hasn't got any, he can already press it, of course, if there's enough interest in stuff.
Yeah.
Scrub and the Pentateuch just got released.
Okay.
But he may have already sold out of copies. I'm not sure.
You know, kind of wrapping it up here, you've accomplished so much. Is there anything further that you would, like any kind of future goals? Or I know you have the book coming out, but anything else you would like to accomplish while you're still living on planet Earth here?
Well, I talk to Sam this all the time via email, and he just pays me every month for what sells. And, I might keep releasing books. I'm not sure what the next one will be. I'm not sure what this one will be, but I've just finished this one. And I just think it happened in my life, like my son having a son.
Yeah. Sounds like being a grandfather is your next big venture.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
And, you know, like I said, people want to know a lot more about your story, because I don't think people realize how much medically you've gone through with cancer and having a colostomy bag and dropping wedding rings and toilets and whatever crazy stories you got going on. But but just how much you've been through, and I'm not kidding. It has to be read. If people have not read that book, I encourage people to check it out, because it's a book. It's a quick reader. You want to, because you can't stop. You want to keep going, because there's so many great stories in there. So I'm really glad you were able to do that.
Yeah, so was I. It was a long book. That's good, and that's available through soundmass.com. And you can have time. You know the names of the people who are releasing online. It's good that
I'll put I'll put some links and everything for people to check out. I've already put the sound mass on there. So, but if anybody has any questions about trying to find something or needs help, you know, feel free to reach out to me. On Facebook.
Yeah, tell them to contact soundmass.com and say, is this sound available? Is this sound available, you know? Like, if you're interested in any modification albums, Let My Limitless or Scribe of the Pentateuch or Have I Got It, whatever. They were all released at one point or another and on CD, but Adam may have to reassure you if he's got enough people interested in.
Yeah, I got you.
So if he advertises, oh, this album will be available again. You know, it takes him a while to release vinyl. Mm-hmm. Just listen to it on Spotify. And
well, Steve, I really do appreciate you joining me once again. And I mean, there's
thanks, Joel.
You know, I wish I could go through so many things of the book and be like, you know, tell me more about that. But people just need to go ahead and read it, and it answers a lot of questions. It really goes into some very real details about, you don't hold back, that's for sure. And it's amazing to me, and we did mention this yesterday, but I'll just say it again, is that you kept your faith in your relationship with God, and it's been strong throughout all the things that you went through. You didn't ever just say, you know what, God, you're giving me cancer again, I give up, I'm not going to be with you. You know, why are you letting this happen to me?
I've always been a strong Christian.
Yeah, I can tell. You've proven that, yes.
And as I said, a couple of people I've worked with haven't been Christians, but they've had a Christian understanding. And I put everyone through what I could to... I had strong Christians like Lincoln Bower and, things like that. He's still a friend.
That's good.
He's 45 or something now. And I'm 58, so I'm getting on.
You're a grandpa. You're a grandpa now.
Yeah, I'm a grandpa.
Well, I hope there's many, many more years with you around and the story's not over and more things that you can accomplish. And thank you for everything that you have done with Mortification, your ministry, because, yes, you have had a lot of fruit come from what you've done, and there are a lot of people that can testify to that. And I appreciate you doing this again. It means a lot to me. And if this doesn't record again, then I may just have to throw my computer out the window at this point. But same as yesterday, I always let my guests have the last word. So, of course, anything you want to say to people listening or fans of Mortification to close it out?
Yeah, just go to soundmouse.com and check out all our stuff and stay strong in the Lord if you're a Christian, really, because people in the world are not wanting people to be Christians anymore. And I would say stay strong, because we're a coming, especially in Australia and America, more of a minority. I still love the Lord, and hopefully I'll be around for a few years and see my son grow up and see my son and others and another child.
Rejection on the grave of all will prevent this. Give on the constitution of impurity. Separation only from charm. Choppy and godlessness becomes extinct. Dirty and terrible destiny of.